Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com, beaconbaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We return today to the book of Malachi and to chapter 3, and to that section that deals with tithing. We started, just barely started, into the section on the broadcast last week, on Friday, and we are now ready to take it up and to continue. You recall that this whole discussion about tithing in the book of Malachi is yet another example of Israel's disobedience in a long list of other disobediences. It's one additional area where their transgressions are clearly displayed, and yet God's long-suffering and kindness is also clearly displayed. Now here's the real opening of the whole section of verse 7. We read, "For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." Another appeal to the nation of Israel to acknowledge their sins, to recognize their disobedience, to repent of their transgressions and return to God. And the promise that if they do that, that God, on his part, will return to them. He has pulled away from them. They're suffering the consequences of that. But he offers to return, but it is dependent upon their acknowledging their sin and repenting of it. But what is their response? Still verse 7, "But you said, in what way shall we return?" Another one of these, what should I say, evasive answers, in which they claim total ignorance as to any transgressions of which they are guilty. And that once again becomes the backdrop for the detailing of a specific transgression, and in this case it turns out to be the law of tithing. And so we'll take up that in just a moment, but let me welcome you to this Monday, January 27 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we can only do this as some of our radio listeners will help us with the financial cost. Perhaps God would have you be one of those. Well, their response was, "We don't know any way in which we have transgressed your law." And so verse 8 gives God's response to that, a specific example of their sinful rebellion. And here it is. "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." In what way have we turned away from you, O God? By robbing me. Robbing you? What do you mean by that? In tithes and offerings. It's a jolting response to their feigned innocence. They can't seem to figure out what they've done wrong, and so God says, one of the things you've done wrong is to rob me. Now, just without going further in explanation, that really does sound incredible. How can a man rob God? But here's the answer. You have robbed me in tithes and offerings. And literally, that is in the tithes and the offerings. definite article in both cases, and that means those that were required of them by the law of Moses under which they lived. Now, here's where it gets sticky for us today, is because we recognize we are not under the law of Moses today. So how much of this applies to us? In what way does it apply to us? How do we figure that out? And we're going to be dealing with some of those things as we work through this. But as you know, there are widely divergent opinions about that. Now, let me say as a general statement before we get into the details, just because something is in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it is not in any way applicable to us today. That's almost the way people state it. I'm sure that's not really what they mean to say, but that's what it sounds like they're saying sometimes when you say something about tithing and the response is, oh, that's Old Testament. All right, what if I said something about stealing? Would you say, well, that doesn't apply to me, that's Old Testament. Or murder, well, that doesn't apply to me, that's Old Testament. Okay, you get my point. Now, the truth of the matter is, and we'll deal with this in detail, the truth of the matter is that adultery and stealing and whatever else I mentioned a moment ago is reiterated in the New Testament, but tithing not so much, or at least not so clearly so. So what most people mean when they say that's Old Testament, they mean, well, that's Old Testament and is not carried over to the New Testament, is not repeated in the New Testament. It is part of the Old Testament that vanishes away. And we all recognize, surely, that there are parts of the Old Testament law that did exactly that. We don't bring animal sacrifices to worship God today, as they did in that day, were required to do in that day, and that's part of God's complaint against his people in the book of Malachi. They were failing to do that, or at least failing to bring the stipulated sacrifices, the qualified animals that were required of them. That was required of them under Mosaic law, but that's not required of us under New Covenant law. So there's a valid reason to say these things, and I fully understand that, and I'm very appreciative of it. I'm very, very, very sensitive and friendly. I can't think of the right word I'm trying to come up with right now, but I'm very open to recognizing that this law does indeed fall under the portion of the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, that is not specifically repeated in the New Testament. But I assure you, dear friends, that's not the whole story. That's the problem. We have to look at it in a little bit more detail. But how have you robbed God back in the days of Malachi under the Mosaic law? You have robbed him by withholding the tithes and the offerings that were required by the law of Moses. Now, let's talk a little more specifically about this law. When we're talking about tithing, what exactly are we talking about? And most people, I assume, know, but every now and then I run into somebody for whom the word tithing is a foreign word and they have no idea what it means. But the tithe means 1 in 10, or 10%. The tithe in the Old Testament represented 10% of the total. And oftentimes the tithe was in grain offerings, in crops, and in animals. So 1 out of every 10 sheep in your herd of sheep, your flock of sheep, not herd, flock. 1 in every 10 goats out of your flock of goats. And furthermore, with the grain. They didn't count it out, I don't suppose, by ears of corn, but if they were doing it that way, that's what it would be. And for every 10 ears of corn, one goes to God. A tithe is 1 part out of 10, a tenth part, 10%. Now, there are some interesting things about the tithe, and one of the interesting things is that the practice of tithing predates Moses. And listen carefully to what I'm saying. I didn't say the command to tithe predates Moses, but I'm saying the practice of tithing predates Moses, and there is a difference. And I hope you will understand and appreciate the difference. But usually when we say something is Old Testament, what we mean is that it's Mosaic. It's found in the Mosaic Law. But there are some things that were either commanded or practiced long before Moses. So we need to recognize that tithing falls into that category. We have two examples of it in the book of Genesis before Moses ever gave the law. The first one is by Abraham in regard to Melchizedek after God gave him the victory over the kings that had attacked Sodom and carried away Lot and many others. And then after the victory, we read, verse 18, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he," that is Melchizedek, "blessed him," that is Abraham, "and said, Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he," now this he refers to Abraham, "gave him," Melchizedek, "a tithe of all." Abraham gave a tenth part of all the spoils of that conquest, that victory. He gave a tenth part of that to Melchizedek, who was a priest of the Most High God. It was an act of worship to God. It was a way of giving to God, but clearly, you can't give to God by handing it to him. You can't give it. You can't give to God by mailing it to heaven. So you always, in worshiping God, you always give your offerings to someone or something that represents God. When I say something, sometimes it's to a Christian organization rather than any one specific man, but you are giving it to, in most cases, I would say, in our day, to a local church, because that represents God. In giving your offerings, your tithes and offerings to the church, you are giving them to God. You view it that way, or should. God views it that way. He really does, if your heart is right in it. And that's always the way it is. You give to a representative of God. And that's what Abraham is doing here. He is giving a tithe to Melchizedek several hundred years before Moses. Now, interestingly, it happens again with Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, where God met with him and gave him encouragement and promises. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Now that's a promise to tithe. It's not the practice of tithing, because he doesn't have anything to tithe at this point. But it's the promise of all that you give me. And he was a wealthy man when he came back. "Of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." I wonder who Jacob gave it to. We're not told. But we'll take this up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please return. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.